be at the University of Central Missouri, June the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And contact person would be Yiming, the Yiming, and you can contact him. Now, we have been, our theme for this year, Christ will build His church. And we've been started with the churches in Revelation, the seven churches in Revelation, and then started our now with going through the Acts, the different churches we find in Acts. And we come here to the Joppa Church. Very interesting Wednesday night at our prayer meeting. I encourage you to come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Robert shared with us about Joppa. So it's very appropriate. Today we look at the Joppa Church, the beautiful church. And let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin and unite our hearts together in prayer. Oh God, we thank You that You are our Father, and by faith we are God's family. We thank You that Christ is our head, and by grace we are Christ's body. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is our anointing, and by His power we live. We thank You for the Bible as Your book, and by inspiration we have God's Word. And we ask You to anoint and open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, that we might receive God's Word. And then we ask You to anoint and change our minds to follow God's will, to anoint and use our hands and feet to do God's will. And then we ask You to anoint and speak Your message through Your servant. We ask You to anoint and help Your church to be God-seeking, kingdom-praying, connecting with God, caring for others, and committing to missions, consecrating to ministry. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and for His glory, we ask, Amen. So the verse here in Acts chapter 9, verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This was known throughout that whole city of Joppa. And we're going to find out, what did they know? What became known to that city of Joppa? As a reminder here, I need a little bit of help on the advancing. Okay. As we look at the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, remind us that Christ builds His church through His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is working. And the Acts were the Spirit's directing, controlling, and empowering ministry that founded and strengthened and caused the church to grow. Now, the book of Acts is also a time of transitions from the ministry of Jesus to the apostles, from the old covenant to the new covenant, from Israel as God's witness to the church as God's witness, and from Judaism to the church age. And so the Acts show us the fulfillment of the Great Commission in Acts 1, verse 8, that you would receive power, and starting in Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But think and remember this, that the Acts of the Apostles are the continuing works of the Spirit in the churches. There's an organization I saw that's called Acts 29. And I was thinking, well, there's only 28 chapters in Acts. Why do they call it Acts 29? Because the church is continuing. God's Spirit is continuing working through the church. And so we see this book of Acts. And we come today to the city of Joppa. Now, the city of Joppa, if you look at the map here, is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Last time we looked at the church at Lydia, and now we come to Joppa. And a little bit of background to the city of Joppa. The city of Joppa today is a modern city of Jaffa, and I know a few of you have been to Israel. I don't know if you've had a chance to visit this city. It's on the sea coast, 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's one of the most ancient seaports in the world. I always enjoy going along the sea or the ocean. I think probably one of my favorite places, either up in the mountains where you can look at God's creation, or along the sea where you can hear the waves and so forth. Now, this city is also important to Bible history as belonging to the tribe of Dan. It was also the place where the cedar logs were floated to be transported to Jerusalem, both the first time they built the temple and then when they rebuilt the temple. They floated those logs down from the north and then loaded them and transported them to Jerusalem. And then, as we reminded Wednesday night, Jonah embarked from Joppa. He was fleeing from God, running away from God. Instead of going where he was commanded to go east, he went west. He headed in the opposite direction, trying to flee from God. And so Joppa became his place where he took off on the sea, trying to run from God. And we will be reminded again of what happened to him. Joppa Church was founded by the believers from Pentecost. And Acts chapter 2, as they were scattered, or perhaps maybe at the faithful believers who were scattered later during the great persecution in Acts chapter 8. And so Joppa would represent the beautiful church because the word Joppa means beautiful. Now, question may be asked, well, what is a beautiful church? Is it the building or is it the people? I remember as a child in Sunday school, we would sing, I forget what the name of the song was, but you have a church with a steeple and you open the doors, would represent your thumbs, you open the doors and there are all the people. Maybe some of you remember that. But is it the building? If you go to Beijing, here's a beautiful building that you would find in Beijing. In many other places, there are beautiful buildings. Does that make a beautiful church? You go to some churches and you look at the inside, the ornate design of the inside. I'm sure an architect would appreciate both that, the outside and the inside of the church. Does that make a beautiful church? But as we're reminded, it's the people. Not the steeple, but the people. And Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. Look in your Bibles in Romans chapter 10. That was from Isaiah. And so in Romans chapter 10, this is repeated for us. Paul quoted from Isaiah here. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I've shared with you oftentimes my testimony. I think of that Sunday school teacher, Hazel Hanke. She was an older lady. I don't think she ever married. Hazel Hanke shared the gospel. I remember from time in Sunday school, I heard the gospel, how beautiful her feet are. She shared the gospel with the children there. I shared with you also on Mother's Day last week how that my mother was also not only my physical mother, but was also my spiritual mother. As I went to her and she opened the Word of God and showed me how I could get saved and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, how beautiful are her feet. And so, beautiful. Beauty is found in people. We also sang that song today. How appropriate. Jesus, you are beautiful. And do we reflect the beauty of our Lord? And so, as we look at the churches here, and look at this church of Joppa, the beautiful church, we see here, in verse 36, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. Tabitha is her name, or Dorcas, as it is also in Greek, Dorcas. And this name, both languages, means gazelle. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a gazelle. It's a deer that runs quickly. It has also beautiful feet, but it moves swiftly. And she was one who moved swiftly to help people who were in need. When she saw a need, she was swift to move her feet to help that need. It tells us here that she was always doing good, and how we're reminded we are a reflection as the disciples of Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And instead of Jesus here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You know, many times our neighbors, our friends, those we work with, the first Bible they ever read is what they see in our lives. And so, even before we're able to share with them a verse, not that we would use the Bible to beat on their heads, but if we were to share our testimony or share a verse, but by showing kindness and showing the love of God, we are also showing the Bible in a living way to them. She was helping the poor. And we're reminded that whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done. I saw this week a true story of two policemen who took a homeless man, and they gave him a haircut, gave him a shave, gave him a hot shower, and even helped him to find some clothes. So they had a picture before and after. Here's what he looked like before. Here's what he looked like after. Now, those two policemen may have been Christians, but they were, whether or not they were Christians, they were moved to help this man in his need. A brother shared with me just yesterday how that he and his wife, occasionally they have a homeless person come to their church, and they have taken that homeless person into their home, given them a meal, and even given them a shower. And so when we see the need around us, it's just a matter of letting God's Spirit, how can we help? What can we do? And she did that. That was Tabitha Dorcas. In fact, it tells us more that she even went beyond that. She made clothes. She would make clothes. Peter went with them when he arrived, and he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows, those friends of Tabitha, stood around him crying, and then they showed him the robes, the clothes, and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. She had made these clothes for them. Last week, Mother's Day, our good friend, Betty, came to visit, and she's the one that makes these lab quilts. We presented at the last Christmas. We went to the assisted living place, and as we went caroling and singing with the young people and the parents and so forth, to each one in each room, we presented a gift, a quilt that she had made by hand for those especially on wheelchairs who may be cold. She had an extra quilt she gave us this past week. We took to Wednesday Bible study. There's a lady there who is also in a wheelchair, and we were able to give that to her. So she made clothes. Now the church has an obligation to help people that are truly in need. We see it in Acts chapter 6, how that they would, the deacons were appointed, certain men in the church were appointed, and others to help the widows in need. 1 Timothy chapter 5 tells the ways that we can help the widows in need. But I want you to look with me at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 26. James 1:26. Here we read James 1:27, excuse me. James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now here is, in God's eyes, this is pure religion. Now, religion, many times people think, religion is, what can I do to earn my way to heaven? What can I do to be a good person? In many people's minds, that's what religion is. But we're reminded that the Bible is not, what it's telling us is not about a religion, it's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as we have this relationship, our hearts are moved not only to love God, but also to love others and to help others in their need. And so that is what God sees as true religion, as pure religion, that which comes from the heart. And to look after orphans, to look after children. I received an email, Jane Markham, who's been in our church a couple of times, will be back this summer. And the ministry that God has given to her with orphans in China. But there are orphans in so many situations. We talked about Mother's Day last week, the 8 different kinds of mothers. And also to keep ourselves pure. The application here is when your feet are fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's part of the armor. We put on the shoes of peace, that we're ready to go and tell the reason of the hope we have. Are you ready to share the gospel? And that comes, first of all, reminded by building relationships. And then through that, God gives us opportunity to do good. Again, we're building relationships. We're adding to that a living Bible testimony, helping the poor, helping widows, and so forth, and then telling them the gospel. And so it's building relationships. It's sharing our lives, opening our lives, our homes to people, and getting to know them, meeting them where they're at, whatever their need may be. Last week, that praise the Lord that, you know, we have been Sunday afternoon teaching ESL to adults. Some are parents, some are grandparents, and trying to help them with their need there and getting to know them, having them in our home, taking them to see the journey to Judea, several of them, and then through the year, getting to know them, and invited them also to come to our Mother's Day celebration. And so 5 students, 4 of their children came with them. And so, it's a building relationships, opening your home, getting to know, and then whatever the need may be, you know, you can start off. Sometimes Doug Brown challenged us in our how to prepare your testimony, just to ask somebody, is there something I could pray for you about? You know, and we've tried to do that, and Sharon had the opportunity to ask a lady as she was in the doctor's office, having her annual checkup, you know, and Sharon's had cancer in the past. And, is there something I could pray for you about? And the lady just opened up. She is now battling cancer. And so, whatever that need might be, we have beautiful feet when we prepare to share our lives. We have beautiful feet when we prepare, as God gives us opportunity to share the gospel. And so that is gives us beautiful feet. And then at each church, we take a look at not only how the Spirit commends them, but the Spirit's condemnation, rebuke. Look with me at chapter 9, verses 37 to 38. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." And Peter sent them out of the room. When he arrived, he sent them out of the room. So we see here that she became sick and died. We're reminded in the Lydia church how that it was a church full of healing. Not only physical healing, spiritual healing, healing of conflicts, that we're reminded that God is a God who heals physically, spiritually, conflicts, and the church ought to be a place of healing. And so, he came from Lydia, where he had just healed. Peter came, but she was already dead. She had became sick, this dear sister, and died. Reminded of the words of Job. Job chapter 1 and verse 21. "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now, it is difficult, the different trials, the difficulties we face in life, that we can, even in the difficulties, offer praise to God, like Job. That's chapter 1, when he had all the destruction had come upon not only his house, but his children had died. And, I know maybe some of you have experienced death in your immediate family. Of course, my mother a few years ago and Sharon's parents. And then soon after that, we had two grandchildren at a very young age that passed away. And then a short time after that, our son Joe passed away of a heart. They thought it was a stroke, a heart attack at the age of 26. And because of that, you go through that struggle when somebody dies as close to you, and asking the questions and seeking answers. And because of that, our friend Tim and Donna had been involved in a grief share group and invite us to come to their grief share group, and that led to starting a grief share group and helping others to, you have to go through some things to be able to help others as they go through those things. You have to be able to comfort them from the comfort that God gives to you. And so here she had died. She was sick and died. But God doesn't mean that God wasn't there. It doesn't mean that God's will is not taking place. And then we're told that she was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Now, this is, of course, the Jewish custom to wash the dead body and then to anoint it with spices for burial. And it would be, visitation. It's often done. People, friends and family would come and visit as that body was placed in the upstairs room. And so they invited him, "Please come at once." Now, it's interesting. There's no previous record in Acts that any of the apostles had raised the dead. Yes, there had been some healing done by God's grace, by God's power. So their sending for Peter was an evidence of their faith in the power of the resurrected Christ, of the risen Christ. They were trusting Christ in this. "Peter, could you come? Could you minister to us at this time?" Jesus had raised the dead. So why would he not be able to raise the dead from his throne in heaven? God, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father praying for us, and the Spirit helping us to praying. We do not know what to say. But as Peter got there, we see here that he sent the others out of the room. And here we have the account of Peter's raising of Dorcas. And we can compare that to the Lord's raising of Jairus' daughter. In both cases, the mourning people, the people who were there sharing in their grief, were put out of the room. And then words that were spoken were almost identical as God's Spirit moved. It wasn't a matter of Peter repeating what Jesus had done, but God's Spirit moved. I was thinking about this. There are not many times you see in the Bible the resurrections. Nine are recorded. Nine resurrections. Three in the Old Testament. Three that Jesus resurrected. And then we see here Peter. And then later we see Paul, resurrection. Of course, the resurrection of Jesus Himself, as we celebrate on Easter, as He came back to life. But I want you to think of resurrection beyond the physical resurrection. Does that mean that God cannot do that physically, resurrect somebody? I don't know if you've heard the story of John Piper. John Piper is a minister, but as a young man, his story was written in a book and made into a movie. I think it's called, if I remember right, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Something like that, 90 Minutes in Heaven. In this car accident, as he was crossing over a bridge, a truck swerved, it was raining, and hit him head on. And in that time, the medics had come and they had pronounced him dead. I mean, he was not breathing, and he had pronounced him dead. And God did the miracle of bringing him back to life. I mean, then, after he had pronounced dead, he started to breathe again. So, yes, God can do that. Yes, God can raise the dead from life. We hear of others who have told of this. But I think we need to see beyond that. That there is something even more beautiful than that. And that's the resurrection. When we accept Jesus Christ, a spiritual new life. The resurrection as pictured in baptism. When we're baptized, we first of all believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. And then as part of baptism, we confess Him with our mouth. And then we're the picture of baptism, so wonderful. We die with Christ, we're buried with Him, we raise again a newness of life. So that new life is pictured for us in baptism. And so, that is a picture. But more than that, that new life, Jesus also rebukes sickness, He rebukes death, He rebukes traditions and disbelief. It was the power of God that raised the person from the dead. For the dead person certainly could not exercise faith. This is something that God did. But we're reminded also, Galatians 2:20. And I'd like you to read this verse with me, if you would, please, right up here. Galatians 2:20. Let's read this together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So here is a resurrection, not the new life, but a changed life. Jesus Christ, not only gives us new life through salvation, but the Spirit of God changes our life. And here's a picture of that in the resurrection. So that instead of living for self, which we're all selfish by our own nature, our old nature, our old person, our old man is by nature selfish. But we are crucified with Christ. We take that old nature, that old man, and our desires and crucified with Christ. We consider it to be dead. We're no longer, we're wanting to follow Christ, not to follow that. And buried with Christ. And then raised as a new person in Christ. So, resurrection is physically, bodily, there's a resurrection. And we see that. But spiritually, the new life is pictured in baptism. And then, as we grow by the Spirit of God, and we are our old self, our old man is crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and we have a new life, new desires, a new man. So this all pictures for us. And then the Spirit of Christ gives His counsel to this church. And I want you to see this in chapter 9, verse 40. And when Peter, then he got down on his knees and prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." And he took her by the hand and he helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and he presented her to them alive. Now, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So I want you to see what takes place here. Get down on your knees and pray. Peter came to comfort them, I'm sure, the ladies. And he probably knew of Tabitha, had heard of her, and came to bring comfort and encouragement to them. And then as God's Spirit moved in his heart, he knelt down and prayed after they had left. I'm reminded of also the example of Daniel. Now when Daniel heard about the decree that had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, just as we see this upstairs room, and where the window was open toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his Father, to God, as he had done before. And so Daniel got down on his knees and prayed to God. Now it's not so important the position of prayer, whether you're standing, sitting, or kneeling. The position is not as important as the position of our heart, of kneeling before God, our heart humbling ourselves before God and seeking God and praying. And Peter did this, got down on his knees and prayed. And his heart prayed to God. And then we see he got up. Get up. And we're reminded of this that, in Acts 22, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, as Paul told him there. Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. You know, often the picture here of salvation, the sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. As we confess our sins to God, ask his forgiveness. And then as we do that, we get up. A newness of life. We get up to follow the Lord. We get up and follow Him in baptism and so forth. And we see here also that He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Jesus was not afraid of becoming ceremonially defiled by touching the dead. You know, other Jews thought you did not touch a dead body. We need to see the need of the heart. And so Peter, you see here, just like Jesus, he had touched the body that had been dead. And Peter took Dorcas by the hand and helped her. And then we see that he stayed in Joppa for some time. He took the opportunity to ground these new believers in the Word of Truth and for faith to be built on the miracle that had taken place. And so we see here that this is what Peter did. Now I want you to take a look at application here. I'm reminded of the story of Lazarus. And in this account of Lazarus, Then Jesus said, "Do I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Do we want to see the glory of God? We have to have faith. And so they took away the stone, as Jesus told him, "Roll away this stone." They took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, that miracle caused Lazarus to come forth. The resurrection of Lazarus. I've heard said this way, that if he had not said the name Lazarus, then come forth, there would have been many. It had come forth because of the power of God. But Lazarus, come forth. And then he told them to take away the cloth that had bound him. And he was given new life. Now, I want to share this little testimony when we think of that beautiful, here is a living Christian, a living new life. And I want to share this testimony. I know several of you have met our granddaughter, Rebecca. She had gone to summer camp last summer and hoping to come this summer. She's trying to get a job too, so hoping there's not a conflict there. You can pray about that. But I want to share this a simple testimony of, she had been greatly disappointed by someone she looked up to. And hearing what this person had done had greatly disappointed her. And she kind of, it was a crossroads for her. She could have said, "Well, this person did this. I don't know if I can continue to follow Jesus." But instead of that, she decided that she would really give her heart completely to the Lord because of what she saw had happened to this person's life. And instead of going away from God, this situation that had disappointed her caused her to draw closer to God. And as a result of that, this past year, she had a friend at school. She started a Bible study with that friend, just one-on-one. That friend did not, the two of them would meet once a week. And one-on-one, they would share their lives together and share what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Now, this is a simple testimony, but I want to share this, that maybe God would lay upon your heart someone like that, that you could meet with once a week or just share your life with that person. But as a result of that, word got out, and other students at her high school wanted to join. And others came, and there were, I think what I heard from her, at least one other got saved, and now there are 10 students that meet every week in Rebecca's home. And, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. But as you share your life, as you open your heart, even in heartbreak, let it draw us to God. Let us draw us closer to Christ. And then open our hearts and open our lives and share it with others. It starts out very small, one person, that's fine. And who knows what God would have in that. But there is an example of what could have caused her to go in another direction, caused her to draw closer to God, and allowed her to see other young people, her classmates at high school, get saved and study the Bible together. 10 young people meeting now every week in her home. Now, the last thing I want us to look here is a challenge. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. This became known all over Joppa what had happened to Tabitha. And many, many people believed in the Lord. She opened her eyes. God raised her from the dead on the third day. Raised him from the dead on the third day. Remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And caused him to be seen by many. Over 520 witnesses saw his resurrected body, the Lord Jesus Christ. She opened her eyes. And this resurrection, what makes it so beautiful is it opens our eyes to see things in a different perspective, from God's perspective, not from our own perspective or the world's perspective. It opens our eyes. We look at life differently. And then she sat up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. She sat up. This was a new beginning. Her eyes were open, and she sat up, and she was alive. Nine people in the Bible were raised from the dead. Three from in the Old Testament, three during the days of Jesus' ministry, and then Peter and Paul. And of course, Jesus himself was resurrected. But here we see, as a result of this, many believed. Just like Lazarus, as a result of Lazarus' resurrection, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Yes, Jesus raised the widow's son, Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. Peter raised Tabitha. Paul raised Eutychus. And God, remember this, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. It is by grace you've been saved, and God has raised us up with Christ. This is our testimony, that we are raised with Christ. We're made alive, a total involvement with Christ. We are raised with Him. This is pictured in baptism, but it ought to be pictured in our life. That is what a beautiful life is. A life that has been raised with Christ. Be made alive. Newness of life. Having forgiveness of sin. So I would like to ask you, what is beautiful? The Chinese character, which we see here, is the great Lamb. The great Lamb is beautiful. Reminded of the words of John the Baptist, introducing Jesus Christ, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Psalm 50, we're told, "From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth." Perfect in beauty. We need to turn our eyes upon the Lord, upon God, Jesus Christ, perfect in beauty. Often we look around us, in this world, things are not perfect in beauty. So, we need to look at the Lord. And then, one thing, Psalm 27:4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." As we come together and worship God, we ought to be reminded of these words. So what is a beautiful church? It's a church where believers have beautiful eyes from gazing on the beauty of the Lord. Beautiful hearts from reflecting the beauty of Christ, just like a moon reflects the sun. And beautiful feet from telling others of the beauty of the Lamb of God. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. As we come to God in prayer, we might ask ourselves this same question. What is beautiful? What is a beautiful church? What is a beautiful Christian? And we're reminded that as our eyes look on the beauty of the Lord, then we have beautiful eyes. As our hearts reflect the beauty of Christ, we have beautiful lives and hearts. And then as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, we have beautiful feet. Father, I pray today, may we reflect the beauty in our eyes, our hearts, our feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, how beautiful He is. And Father, that's what makes our lives beautiful to others. I pray that we would have beautiful lives, beautiful hearts, beautiful eyes and feet, and that we would have a beautiful church. Father, make us beautiful in Your image, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.